Lesson 103. 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2. Introduction. After learning about problems church members in Corinth were experiencing, Paul wrote to these members and exhorted them to eliminate contention and become united. He also explained that God calls the weak and humble to preach His gospel, and that the things of God can only be known and understood through the Spirit. Suggestions for teaching. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 16. Paul writes to the saints in Corinth and exhorts them to eliminate contention and be united. Show the class a picture of a family, a sports team, and a group of friends. Or write family, sports team, group of friends on the board. What might cause divisions and contention in each of these groups? How can such divisions and contentions affect a family, team, or group of friends? How can such divisions and contention among church members affect the church? Invite students to look, as they study 1 Corinthians 1, for a truth about divisions and contention that Paul taught the saints in Corinth. Invite students to turn to Bible Maps number 13, the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul, located in the Bible appendix, and find Corinth on the map. Ask a student to read the following paragraph aloud. During his second missionary journey, Paul traveled to a city called Corinth, where he preached the gospel. Many people were baptized at that time. Later, while Paul was preaching in Ephesus, he learned that problems had risen among church members in Corinth because some of the converts were reverting to their past beliefs and practices of idol worship. Paul wrote to the church members in Corinth to strengthen them and remind them of their commitment to serve the Lord. Invite a student to read 1 Corinthians 1, 1 through 2 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for how Paul addressed the church members in Corinth. How did Paul address the church members in Corinth? According to verse 1, what position did Paul hold in the church? Summarize 1 Corinthians 1, 3 through 9 by explaining that Paul told the saints in Corinth that he thanked God on their behalf for the grace they had received through Jesus Christ, which had blessed them in every way. Point out that as Paul addressed the saints, he used language indicating that Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ are separate beings. See verse 3. Invite a student to read 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 11 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what Paul exhorted the Corinthian saints to do. According to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, what does the Lord expect us to do as church members? Using their own words, students should identify a principle similar to the following. The Lord expects us as saints to be united and to eliminate divisions and contention. What can we do as church members to eliminate divisions and contention in our families, in our wards? Write students' responses on the board. What blessings can we receive from being united and eliminating contention? When have you been blessed as a result of being united in a class, quorum, or ward or branch? Refer students to the responses written on the board and encourage them to select one way they can eliminate divisions and contention and to set a goal to implement it. Summarize 1 Corinthians 1, 12 through 16 by explaining that the saints in Corinth were dividing into groups based on who baptized them. Contention developed because they believed their status in the church was determined by the importance of the person who baptized them. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 17 through 31. Paul teaches that God calls on the weak to preach His gospel. Explain that during the time of Paul, many Greeks lived in Corinth. These Greeks placed a high value on philosophical ideas and worldly wisdom. Why might someone who values worldly philosophies find it difficult to accept the gospel? You may want to read 2 Nephi 9:28. Invite students to look for a truth as they study 1 Corinthians 1, 17 through 31 that can help them understand the fallibility of the world's wisdom. Divide the class into four groups. Assign one of the following scripture references to each group. 1 Corinthians 1, 17 through 18, 1 Corinthians 1, 19 through 20, 1 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22, and 1 Corinthians 1:23 and 24. Invite students to read these verses in their groups, looking for what Paul said about the world's wisdom versus God's wisdom. Explain that the phrase, "For Christ sent me not to baptize," in verse 17, suggests that Paul was not sent to build a reputation based on the number of converts he could get. You may also want to explain that the phrases "wisdom of the wise" in verse 19 and "wisdom of the world" in verse 20 refer to the flawed philosophical traditions of the day. After sufficient time, invite a student from each group to summarize for the class what Paul taught the Corinthian saints about wisdom. After all the groups have reported, ask, "Why do you think non-believers considered the message of Jesus Christ's atonement to be foolish?" Invite a student to read 1 Corinthians 1:25 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what Paul taught about human wisdom compared to God's wisdom. Explain that Paul used the phrases, "The foolishness of God is wiser than men," and "the weakness of God is stronger than men," to convey God's ultimate wisdom and power. God is not foolish, nor does he have any weaknesses. What truth did Paul teach about human wisdom compared to God's wisdom? After students respond, write the following truth on the board: God's wisdom is greater than human wisdom. In what ways might understanding this truth affect how someone looks for solutions to his or her problems? Invite a student to read 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 27 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for whom God chooses to preach his gospel. Whom does God choose to preach his gospel? Why do you think God chooses those whom the world considers foolish and weak to preach his gospel? 1 Corinthians 2. Paul explains how we learn the things of God. Invite a student to read aloud the following account by President Boyd K. Packer of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Quote, "I sat on a plane next to a professed atheist who pressed his disbelief in God so urgently that I bore my testimony to him. 'You are wrong,' I said. 'There is a God. I know he lives.' He protested, 'You don't know. Nobody knows that. You can't know it.' When I would not yield, the atheist, who was an attorney, asked perhaps the ultimate question on the subject of testimony. 'All right,' he said, in a sneering, condescending way, 'you say you know it. Tell me how you know.' When I attempted to answer, even though I held advanced academic degrees, I was helpless to communicate. When I used the word spirit and witness, the atheist responded, 'I don't know what you are talking about.' The words prayer, discernment, and faith were equally meaningless to him. 'You see,' he said, 'you really don't know. If you did, you would be able to tell me how you know.' I was at a loss of what to do." End quote. From the Candle of the Lord, Ensign, January 1983. What would you have said to the atheist? Invite students to look for a truth as they study 1 Corinthians 2 that will help them know why this man could not understand President Packer, and why they can be confident in their knowledge of spiritual matters. Summarize 1 Corinthians 2:1 through 8 by explaining that Paul told the saints in Corinth that he did not use the world's wisdom to convince them of the gospel. He taught them by the Spirit, so they would have faith in God. Paul also taught them that unbelievers cannot understand the mysteries of God. Invite several students to take turns reading aloud from 1 Corinthians 2:9 through 16. Ask the class to follow along, looking for why Paul said some people can know and understand the deep things of God, while others cannot. According to verses 9 through 10, why could Paul and other faithful people understand the things of God? According to verse 14, why are some people unable to understand the things of God? What truth can we learn from these verses about how we can know and understand the things of God? Students may use different words, but make sure they identify the following truth. We can only know and understand the things of God through His Spirit. Refer to President Packer's account and explain that President Packer felt inspired to ask the man sitting next to him on the plane what salt tastes like. invite a student to read aloud the rest of President Packer's account. Quote, after several attempts, of course he could not do it. He could not convey in words alone so ordinary an experience as tasting salt. I bore testimony to him once again and said, I know there is a God. You ridiculed that testimony and said that if I did know, I would be able to tell you exactly how I know. My friend, spiritually speaking, I have tasted salt. I am no more able to convey to you in words how this knowledge has come than you are to tell me what salt tastes like. But I say to you again, there is a God. He does live. And just because you don't know, don't try to tell me that I don't know. For I do. As we parted, I heard him mutter, I don't need your religion for a crutch. I don't need it. From that experience forward, I have never been embarrassed or ashamed that I could not explain in words alone everything I know spiritually. End quote. Again from the Candle of the Lord. Write the words, things of God, on the board, and ask students what they would consider to be things of God that can only be known and understood through His Spirit. Write their responses on the board. Why is it important for us to believe that we can only know and understand the things of God through His Spirit? Note. Invite students to share. Sharing insights and relevant experiences clarifies students' understanding of gospel doctrines and principles. As students share such experiences, the Holy Ghost often leads them to a deeper understanding and testimony of the very things they are expressing. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, their words and experiences can also have significant impact on the hearts and minds of their peers. Refer students to the list on the board and invite them to share an experience in which they came to know and understand through the Spirit one of these things of God. Consider sharing an experience of your own. Encourage students to consider what they can do to seek the Spirit's help as they strive to know and understand the things of God. Conclude by testifying of the truths taught in this lesson.